There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Chicken Barr should have shown up today and answered questions. He was afraid of Barry Burke. He was afraid of Norm Eisen. A attorney general who was picked for his legal acumen and his abilities would not be fearful of any other attorneys questioning him for 30 minutes.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
You see his Kentucky Fried Chicken, though? You see that, Dalton? It's disappointing. I mean, if you're going to bring chicken in as a prop, the KFC is fine, but I mean, how about some Popeyes, right? They got Popeyes in the district there, right? I mean, Popeyes is everywhere now. Why didn't they even go with that? All right, 1208 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have y'all along for the next couple hours. We're hanging out live, local talk. You're a big part of the show. Go ahead and put this down, even if you don't call or text in today, which I think you might want to, but if you don't do it today, maybe sometime in the future you want to reach out, talk to us, text with us, that's cool. Phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. If you're not from around here, you're new to town, that's 251-343-0106, all right? So where are we going with that? Well, it's all, at least on the Washington front, we got lots to get into in Montgomery and in Washington, but we'll start off with that as it is, Barr is closed today in Washington as Attorney General Barr not testifying today and being called a chicken. Listen, this is just... This is just props, right? Remember Clint Eastwood? Remember Clint Eastwood with his empty chair prop? So these are just props. I would suggest, though, when you have a chance to really make an impact here, right? You could bring the chicken prop in, if you're Democrats, to try to make fun of the Attorney General of the United States. And then you could, if you got a bunch of chicken, then you could have like Popeyes and hand it out to everybody. Red beans and rice, I'd take that. The mashed potatoes with the Cajun gravy, I'd take that too. You know, and then you could listen to the people talk about Attorney General Barr not being there. This story is one that I think we saw coming. I mean, it had been talked about that the Attorney General was not going to continue, was not going to go in front of the House committee, and took all his arrows, I guess, yesterday with the Senate. And now he's being called out, and even Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the Attorney General lied to Congress. Goes on to say he misled lawmakers. He said it would be a crime if anyone else did so. This, of course, is what you would expect Nancy to be saying, right? Story from CNBC reads this way. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi today accused Attorney General William Barr of committing crime by lying to Congress about Robert Mueller's report and Mueller's issues with how Barr has characterized the special counsel's findings. Quote here from the California Democrat said, "What is deadly serious about it is the Attorney General of the United States of America is not telling the truth to Congress, to the Congress of the United States. That's a crime." End quote. Pressed again about the accusation, Pelosi said he lied to Congress. If anybody else did that, it would be considered a crime. Nobody is above the law. Okay. And says, asked whether Barr should go to jail, and the Speaker of the House said there's a process involved here. End quote. Now, I mean, this is where this rhetoric has gotten us, that you have the Speaker of the House and a direct attack against the AG. Listen, the subtle attacks happen all the time. This is pretty direct here. In a statement in response, Justice Department spokeswoman Carrie Kupek said Pelosi's, quote, baseless attacks on the Attorney General Her baseless attack on the Attorney General is reckless, irresponsible, and false, end quote. Pelosi's comments appeared to reference answers Barr gave during the House testimony last month. Lawmakers asked him about reported frustrations Mueller's team had with a summary the Attorney General had written about the special counsel's report, right? We heard that all. It was all on display yesterday. But now Pelosi is now going and saying, he lied to Congress. He should be arrested. There's a method for that. It's not just saying that he lied. She's now going one step more and saying what should happen, right? And this is interesting because it's not just, this is not a just a rank and file Democrat. This is the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House. I mean, this is the highest, she'd be the highest ranking Democrat in the country. And now they go on to say, while Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer have accused Barr of protecting Trump and having a conflict of interest, neither lawmaker had previously gone as far as alleging a crime. Pelosi has so far resisted calls to impeach the president, we've talked about that in the past, which have intensified following the release of Mueller's redacted report. Schumer, meanwhile, is writing a letter to Barr questioning the Attorney General's views on executive power. I mean, that's all been hashed out. I guess he's trying to get it back on record or something. That's been hashed out. All right. That goes on to say, particularly his suggestion that the president could end an investigation if they feel they are falsely accused. Democrats want Mueller to testify publicly and have questioned why the Justice Department decided not to charge the president with obstructing justice by trying to influence Mueller's investigation. While Mueller's report declined to say whether Trump obstructed justice, he also noted that the report did not exonerate Trump. All right. So that's where it's, listen, a lot of the things are the same as they were earlier yesterday. Now, on top of that, though, I think it goes of note. Either there's some other shoe to drop, or Democrats see some kind of handles on Attorney General Barr. There's because you call for this, and you sure this helps you fundraise. I get that. And Nancy Pelosi, one of the best fundraisers in the nation politically, so that helps you fundraise. But beyond that, you've got to land that plane. You make that kind of accusation. And you have to land that plane. Because I would say if you said, okay, well, truly, I believe what Nancy Pelosi says and the Attorney General lied and go down the list of things, the accusations have been made, and then nothing happens, then wouldn't you turn around and ask the Speaker of the House, ask Nancy Pelosi what she's doing about it? I think there must be some other portion of this that they think a shoe to drop on it. It just tells me there's probably another part. We'll talk about that with you and hear from you on this. Do you think it is just a continued witch hunt, the proxy witch hunt for President Trump now goes to Attorney General Barr, or do you think this is legitimate? Do you think Barr should have done more when he released the four-page report? Do you think, although as Dalton's pointed out a couple times with us, you know, the whole report's out there. It's not like Attorney General Barr was the only conduit to get information from the Mueller report, as it's out there. You can read it. I think it's one of the bigger selling books right now. They've got it in stores. You can read the report. Or do you think this is legitimate? It's legitimate that the Attorney General lied. The Attorney General should be punished for this. I think Nancy Pelosi is saying jail, right? Should be arrested. 343-0106. And then the statement that happened the other day when I was sitting there at the State House and Alabama's abortion ban law was being debated. Well, it has a lot of people talking around the country. We'll give you that clip coming up from Representative Rogers and a whole lot more next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile Thursday style. I want to get in this John Rogers clip here, but first, this just popped up over at WKRG, our news partner's website. Alabama Department of Public Health. And Dalton, and maybe we can search if they're posting anything beyond this up on their social media platforms, or maybe they've sent us an email. Now, this is up in St. Clair County. I want to keep everybody, understanding what we're talking about. But Alabama Department of Public Health has confirmed a measles case in St. Clair County. Remember last week we had the at-length interview about measles, right? And after the story that somebody with measles had come through the state a few weeks ago, maybe it was March and not although I think maybe early April. I forget. I don't have the story in front of me. But we had the story that somebody had traversed the state that then tested positive for measles. Okay, and then we talked about measles last week on the show, and then people said, you know, that, well, some people were pretty interested in the interview, and other people said, well, it's not like it's coming here. Okay. Dateline Birmingham. There have been many questions circulating the Alabama Department of Public Health reports that there's a case of measles reported in St. Clair County, and there is an infant confirmed with measles now, according to ADPH. They have received numerous reports over the days for notifiable diseases, which included specific diseases, any diseases of public health importance, and outbreaks of any kind. As of yesterday, May 1st, ADPH had conducted 174 investigations, including 32 that have currently are open with no confirmed cases of measles until then. And now Alabama Department of Public Health is to hold a measles press conference this afternoon, so we need to watch for that. For a report to be confirmed, all right, here's what they're saying. For a measles case to be confirmed, it must meet certain requirements. In the event a case of measles is confirmed within Alabama, the ADPH will issue a statewide news release and will hold a news conference to inform the public. The ADPH has created a measles webpage accessible via a link. If you'll just Google that, Alabama Department of Public Health, or we can get that up. But yeah, so and when it goes in, and it goes into a discussion of the symptoms and all that for measles, and we did that last week on the show. You know, we had a epidemiologist, I think, on specifically what he did at the University of Vermont measles research, and he laid out some of the symptoms. What do we have here?
Yeah, that news conference was held at noon.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's still ongoing. I went to the link that the Department of Public Health gives out. I didn't see any ongoing news conference, so I imagine it's wrapped up, and trying to find a recap on that. Looks like Lita Gore has written more about this, and I don't know if this is an update from that news conference or if you just relayed this, but the ADPH medical officer, Dr. Scott Harris, said that this child under the age of one, so not able to receive that measles vaccine, but they say that the child has not been out of the state and was not in daycare. And they say they believe that the family followed medical advice to go ahead and self-isolate after the diagnosis, but to not have been out of state and not...
I think St. Clair, I don't have the other story in front of me, but I think, because this is breaking news right now, that St. Clair County was one of... Remember we had the story about a person with a confirmed case of measles had traveled through. It was like they were coming from west to east, bisecting the state. It came through back a few weeks ago, if not a month ago or something. And that they had measles. I don't know if that has anything to do with this case specifically, but this is an infant. It's St. Clair County, so it's up in the northern half of the state, more on the eastern side, right?
Yeah, and kind of foreboding, I guess, in a bad way. You know, we always joke about knocking on wood and not wanting to jinx anything, but the Alabama Department of Public Health Twitter feed just 18 hours ago posted a story about the measles outbreak nationwide and saying we have no measles reported cases here in Alabama. And then that news coming in today. Lita Gore does remind everyone that the measles, so if this kid's under one, this baby
wouldn't have the
unable to get the measles vaccine. They say that the first dose is given between 12 to 15 months, and then a second dose 4 to 6 years of age.
Let me think. I think we have that. We're just going to roll some audio. We have a feed here from this presser from the Alabama Department of Public Health. Is that it? That looks like it.
4, 3.
Oh, they got a countdown on it too,
man.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate your attendance today. My name is Scott Harris. I serve as state health officer with the Alabama Department of Public Health. I'm joined by Dr. Mary McIntyre, who's the chief medical officer with ADPH, and we appreciate your time to come and hear this press conference today about measles in Alabama. As you know, just as recently as yesterday, we had no confirmed cases of measles in Alabama, but actually just this morning, we were notified of a single case of measles in an infant under 1 year of age who was not previously vaccinated. This occurred in St. Clair County, and we are just now in the earliest stages of investigating this. This is a confirmed case of measles based on the CDC case definition, although there's still further investigation that we will do to and additional testing that we will do to ensure that we've made the correct diagnosis. Out of an abundance of caution, we feel like it's appropriate for us to bring that news to the public at this time so that they understand the situation. You may be aware that there have been, for months now, many reports of measles on social media and in certain news outlets, and none of those have proven to be positive so far. So we felt like with this initial confirmation that we wanted to bring that to you as soon as possible. We know that this infant was considered contagious beginning on April 23rd and was probably contagious through May 1st, through yesterday. We have our epidemiology staff working with the family and with the medical provider to investigate that further to try to determine whether there could have been additional exposures. At this time, we do not have information about additional exposures. We do know that this infant was cared for by a medical practitioner, and our knowledge so far indicates that practitioner considered this diagnosis and took all the appropriate steps to protect other patients and other members of the public, but we continue to investigate that. We anticipate in the next 24 hours we will have more information about this case that we can make public, and particularly we'll have information for the public to learn about whether they could have been potentially exposed and what other steps need to be taken. It's very important to remind people at this time that the best way to prevent measles transmission is to be vaccinated. I want to review for you again the vaccination recommendations that we have. All Americans born in 1956 or earlier are considered to be immune to measles and do not need additional vaccination. For those born in 1957 or after, two doses of the live measles vaccines are needed to confer immunity. So we would encourage everyone to check their vaccination status and try to determine that any way that they can. If you're absolutely unable to confirm your immunization status, then you need to receive an additional measles dose. There's no harm from receiving additional doses even if you've been previously fully vaccinated. The measles vaccine generally is widely available. It's not expensive. For most people, it's covered by virtually all insurance, and there are no shortages of the vaccine. The vaccine is also known to be very safe and with only very minimal side effects, despite some of the stories that you may hear. We feel very comfortable that the measles vaccine is safe and effective and should be widely used by anyone who's eligible to receive it. That's all the information that I had from this prepared statement. We'll be issuing a news release later today, as well as a Health Alert Network message that goes out to medical providers in the state. We'll be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
As it relates to the confirmed case, what should the public know in relation to measles?
I think the most important thing to know about measles is that there's a very safe and effective way to prevent measles, which is to become immunized. We know that if you're unaware of your vaccine status, becoming immunized within about 48 hours potentially of exposure will protect you. The measles vaccine is highly effective. One dose gives better than a 93 or 94% protection, and two doses, which is the recommendation, gives a close to a 99% protection.
Since this case was found in an infant, is it more common in infants, adults? What's the age?
Yeah, that's a great question. Remember that measles is a live vaccine, and so for that reason, it's recommended to be given to children who are 1 year of age or older. Most children receive their first measles vaccine somewhere between age 12 and 15 months, and then they receive their second vaccine around the time they start school, so around age 5 or 6. So this is a case of an infant who had not yet become old enough to be immunized. This is perhaps a little bit different situation from what's going on throughout the country. As you know, there are around 12 or 14 outbreaks in different parts of the country, but particularly involving the state of Washington and in the state of New York. Most of those cases associated with those outbreaks were international travelers who were older than 1 year of age, but who were not vaccinated, and they brought that back in sometimes into communities where there were a large number of unvaccinated people.
Was this child in an environment like a daycare or anything like that, that possible more exposure?
We know that the child was not in a daycare. We don't have additional information about any other potential exposures, but we do know that they received advice from their practitioner to stay home and self-isolate, which is very encouraging. We're still working to find out for sure that that's actually what transpired, but that was it, that was the advice that they were given. And that's all we know at this time. I can tell you that the child...
Let's do this. We'll run to the break here because I want to get more of this press conference from just about 30 minutes ago from the Alabama Department of Public Health on this case of measles up in St. Clair County. Plus, yeah, I had a friend send a text to me about this cruise ship measles thing. Yeah, I saw that story this morning. We'll add that one to the mix as well. Plus, we got to get Representative Rogers' comments into the mix.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5, and it's Midday Mobile. A couple things. I do want to finish this press conference, and then we got a lot more to get into. But this is, so it's good to hear the actual press conference because there's probably social media popping with questions about this as well, and we'll get back to the ADPH presser about this measles case in just a second. Reminder, tonight, another great event at Cottage Hill Package. Tonight, Lagunitas has their tasting. This goes from 6 to 8 tonight. It's a free event in the back lounge at Cottage Hill Package. Lagunitas Brewing Company, based in California and Chicago. Todd, their rep, is going to be there to introduce all of us to Lagunitas beer by sharing free samples of their IPAs. How about this? Their little something-something wheat IPA, their Super Cluster IPA, the Daytime Session IPA, plus their Waldo's Special Ale, which is a triple IPA. So listen, you like your IPAs, tonight's the night for you from 6 to 8 at Cottage Hill Package. Of course, there are always surprises when you come out. You want to, you know, come out and taste a beer. That's what I like, too, because before you buy a six-pack of craft beer that you've never had a sample of before, kind of a big deal. So you can come out, test it, see if you like the beer, then get the sixer for the weekend. And also while you're there, these breweries will bring hats and stickers and just cool stuff like swag. I guess that's the term I'm looking for, swag from the breweries. And you can take home some of those, stick those stickers on if you're lucky enough to have a beer refrigerator or something like that. Good stuff. It's Cottage Hill Package. Listen, 24/7. I mean, we talk about the events that go on Thursday nights and Friday nights, but they always have a great selection of craft beer. This just gives you a chance to sample maybe a brand new one and figure out if you want to add it. Also, a great selection of wine, fine spirits, that gigantic humidor, all that going on tonight, 6 to 8 with Lagunitas Tasting. And then tomorrow night, how about this? Sweetwater Brewery from Atlanta. Of course, everybody knows Sweetwater logo, all those folks. There may be some new beers for you, maybe some classics that you love from them. They've got their Peach Love and Happiness Berliner Weiss, their 420 strain Mango Kush Wheat Ale. Those are going to be sampling tomorrow night from 6 to 8 at Cottage Hill Package. So tonight, Lagunitas, and tomorrow night, Sweetwater Brewery. Corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, and make sure to like them on Facebook. All right, we'll get back into this presser from just about, I think about 30 minutes ago, 30, 45 minutes ago, Alabama Department of Public Health talking about this breaking story as of midday today, confirming a case of measles in St. Clair County. And this goes, you know, with the story that we had, a few weeks ago, that somebody came through the state, somebody with confirmed case of measles came through the state. They didn't stay. It showed they stopped at this gas station, did this, that, and the other, and went on through. But this is, I think, the first, no, I don't think, I know, at least coming from ADP, PH, this is the first confirmed case of measles in Alabama, I guess in recent history here, or this year, maybe in the last 10 years. I don't know that window. But for 2019, they said the first confirmed case. Let's get back to that presser. They're taking questions right now.
As well, and the child had not been out of the state.
As health professionals, what do you say to people? There's this debate around the country about whether to vaccinate or whether to not vaccinate. You have a group of people out there that are considered non-vaxxers. What do you say to them?
Yeah, there's no credible science that supports not vaccinating with the measles vaccine. It's a very safe and effective vaccine. It works very well. The side effects are minimal. There's a long... I'm sorry, let me collect my thoughts just for a second. Autism has frequently been associated with, in the popular press and with social media, with the measles vaccine, and that's totally discredited and unproven. There is absolutely no link between measles and autism or any other chronic medical conditions that we're aware of. This is a vaccine that everyone should take unless there's a true medical contraindication. There are some people with weakened immune systems, perhaps because they have cancer or other immune situations, and so they can't receive the vaccine for that reason. And then again, we don't give it to children who are less than 1 year of age, but otherwise it's safe and effective to every person.
How would you advise those persons or person who want it to be tested to ensure or to make sure that they don't have the measles?
It's important to understand how measles appears clinically. Typically, measles starts off with a fever and can be a very high fever, sometimes as high as 105-degree temperature. Within a few days, people begin to develop cough and congestion, runny nose, watery eyes, and then conjunctivitis, which is redness of the eyes. And then within the next few days after that is when the characteristic rash appears. If you have any of those symptoms, which would make you wonder whether you have measles, the most important thing to do is stay at home and contact your health care provider. We certainly would advise against going out in public, going to a doctor's office and waiting in a room full of other people who may have other illnesses as well. Mm-hmm. So talk to your health care provider. All right. Do we have any other questions? We will be making further announcements, and by this time tomorrow, we hope to have more information specifically about this particular case and whether there are any other exposures that we can anticipate. I do want to point out sometimes the terminology gets confused. This is not an outbreak situation. An outbreak situation is defined as multiple cases, more than a single solitary case. So we are now one of 23 states that have reported cases of measles, but this is not an outbreak situation in Alabama.
All right. All right. Sounds like they about wrapped that up there. So there you go. Not an outbreak in the individual case, but definitely something of note. One of the things that hopefully Dalton, maybe we can repost that podcast. We repost our conversation with the epidemiologist about it from last week. Because I think you got to get the idea of being vaccinated for those of us who can be vaccinated is to protect those who can't get vaccinated. It kind of that's my takeaway from the conversation we had with the doctor last week, meaning that like this child under the age of where they could get the vaccine, or people have health issues, things are compromised, they can't get the measles vaccine. That's why it's important for those of us that can to get it, get the vaccine, so you can't transmit it. That's but in this case, for that infant to get it, I imagine they got to check. I mean, for an infant in a home, they're not, and they said not in daycare, not in daycare. So how did it get to that child who is, of course, younger than the vaccination age? And that's the worry, right? For adults, like this idea that it's in somebody's text. No, it's not it's not like a bubonic plague apocalypse. It's not like that at all. But it's a situation where inside, everybody's state, county, region, whatever, there are people for different reasons, age and health conditions, that can't get vaccinated. Well, that's protected through whatever they call herd immunity, right? Because no one around them would have it to give it to them in the first place. Somehow, this baby, this child, this infant had picked it up. So it's worth noting. And one case is not like... I'm sure by this evening there'll be something done that'll show you the run for the hill. I'm not telling you run for the hills, not talking about panicking. I just think it's information that ought to be and good for ADPH, letting people know. Yeah, no. I mean, if that's a thing, it's not like St. Clair County's around the corner or anything, but it's something you need to know. So the confirmed case in Alabama now. We'll watch this. More information comes out on that. We'll pass it along. All right, 12:45. I want to get to this. This actually happened while we were in the State House on Tuesday with Midday Mobile. Show was live from up there and going on just a floor up from where we were in the House. They had the abortion bill debate going on. Now, we've talked about this abortion bill in the past. This is it. I'm not saying there's I'm not saying the people who crafted this don't believe in what they crafted, but the idea behind the Alabama abortion ban bill is to be one that would be challenged and then hopefully, in the case of this, go to the Supreme Court. So on Tuesday, Alabama House voted overwhelmingly to outlaw almost all abortions in the state. 74-3 vote in the House, making it a felony to perform any abortion at any stage in a woman's pregnancy. Proposal passed. We talked about it the other day. Democrats walked out. A lot of people not voting out of the... some people said, well, they wouldn't vote at all. The House then kicks it to the Senate. I think the Senate will pass this as well. And it's one of the bills. There's probably five or six other bills around the country in conservative states that are very similar to this law brought by Representative Terry Collins out of Decatur. But this is to be challenged. It's to put up to be challenged, so that challenge could then go before the Supreme Court with the change in the makeup in the Supreme Court in an attempt to challenge Roe versus Wade. All right. So as that was going on the other day, this is what's gotten the most attention, and that is Representative John Rogers, Alabama Rep. John Rogers, having his commentary here as he's speaking before the vote, you know, how they'll get up and talk and debate and talk about a bill. And this is what he had to say. It's about 30 seconds of this clip. Has people talking outside our state now, too, about what he had to say. And let's go ahead and roll that.
All I'm saying to you, it ought to be a woman's choice. I'm not about to be as a male tell a woman what to do with her body. She has the right to make that decision herself. To rape the incest. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved. Then you send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now, kill them later. But the bottom...
There it is. So there's a clip that has you kill them now, kill them later in the electric chair. Hey, interesting, too. Okay, there's the part you may have heard elsewhere, heard people talking about. There's that part. The part that I don't think is getting attention that I think continues to make this a head-scratcher is that you had Representative Rogers speaking to a couple different news outlets and Yellowhammer News and saying, well, but he's anti-abortion. It's... Okay, so a story from Sean Ross over at Yellowhammer says, State Rep. John Rogers made national headlines, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Yellowhammer News spoke to Rogers right before he walked into the House floor on Thursday, that's today, this morning, with the longtime state representative saying that the full context of what he was saying on Tuesday is important to understand what he was advocating for. Rogers, a Catholic, said he believes, quote, abortion is horribly wrong, end quote. However, he advised this was the point he was trying to make with the now infamous viral video. He shared that he believes Alabamians are hypocritical in saying that they are pro-life because they don't provide the necessary resources for children born into poverty or situations where they are unwanted or otherwise not able to be properly cared for. The quote here, what I'm saying is this, we've got a state that won't take Medicaid expansion. We've got 13 rural hospitals closing. We closed a hospital in Birmingham. We got too many people getting killed at night in Birmingham and Alabama prisons. Kill me now or kill me later, end quote. Despite the fact that Representative Terry Collins' bill that Rogers was talking about in the video allows for the exception in the case of danger to the life of the mother, Rogers then asserted that Republicans were trying to force mothers into deciding between themselves or their baby's living. He said, y'all have doctors telling them either you die or the baby dies. We shouldn't make that decision for the lady. That's between her and God, end quote. And he goes on to say, so that's what I'm saying. We kill people every day anyway, so we are not pro-life. We are pro-birth, not pro-life, so that's what I'm saying. Huh? All right. Run the news break here and then get some reaction on this. But that's a little more on that clip. The clip has been heard by a lot of people, but the doubling down or tripling down or even maybe stepping out of the way of his own comments, that was from this morning for John Rogers. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Getting some specific questions on that measles stuff here on boosters and all that. I know we asked those questions, and I remember what the the doctor said in there, but I really don't want to be on giving any kind of medical advice. We can go back and Dalton, we'll just figure out which that podcast, or if you're searching our podcast library, I just can't do that while I'm doing the show. You can go back last week and see what day and what hour. It'll be listed in the description of it, and go back and listen to that interview, get into an in-depth discussion on measles and booster shots and all those kind of things that's in there. I want you to go back and listen to it. I'm pretty sure I know what he said, but I'm not a physician. Didn't stay at a whatever hotel I had to stay at or play one on TV or any of the other cliches. So I'm not going to get into the... Dr. Orwig is in
there. Yes, it was the first hour of the Thursday show last week.
So hour number one, Midday Mobile,
right.
Thursday.
It starts about halfway through. You talk to him at 12:30 on Thursday.
Okay, so if y'all don't already get those shows delivered to your phone, you can go to fmtalk1065.com, click the podcast tab, go to last Thursday,
a week ago.
Exactly. Week ago. Hour number one, halfway through, and that, so I think two segments?
Yep, two segments there.
All right, and then I ask him all the questions y'all are asking on the text line, and then you can get it from his mouth and not mine.
Yeah, exactly.
But we do know that according to ADPH, there is a confirmed case of measles in the state of Alabama, up in St. Clair County, so not right around the corner from us in any way, but...
Yeah, child under the age of one, so not able to get the measles vaccine.
And that's what he was saying, that the idea is why it's so important for everybody else to get vaccinated, because babies can't. Mm-hmm. Some people with compromised immune systems or whatever can't. So we protect those of us that can get vaccinated, protect those people from getting it because we don't have it and no way to transmit it.
And the good news is that child apparently does not go to daycare and hasn't been out of the state.
Where did it come from?
Well, yeah, that's one question. But the good news is hopefully the child hasn't been in contact with a bunch of other children the same age. I was reading up, I guess, the last big measles outbreak in Alabama. That's exactly what happened. It got into the daycares and was passed around
there.
That
was when, did it say?
I need to go back and check what year that was, but that's a recipe for disaster when a kid has measles around a bunch of other kids.
Yes, and as you're getting ready to learn over time that any, not like measles, but just regular germs,
mm-hmm.
your children are a straight-up conduit to come from daycare or school and bring it home. You and the missus, y'all are going to be sick with stuff that you're like, where did this come from? You should not be sick all the time.
It'll be cold city for me is what I'm saying.
The children are a straight conveyor belt of germs from wherever they go during the day, bringing them into the house. It is straight up just, you're like, what am I? After all the years of like being a single guy and get married and have kids, mm-hmm. I'm like, why am I sick all the time?
Should I invest in a hazmat suit?
I think it'd be a good idea.
And just strap it on before I go in.
Look like Dustin Hoffman in Outbreak or whatever that movie is and walk it around. It'll make it strange when you're holding your child, but yeah, that's probably not a bad idea.
Oh, okay. I'll get on it right now.
All right. They're for sale, by the way. If you look, seriously, those suits are for sale on eBay.
Really?
Yeah.
You searched for them one time, and then they popped up everywhere you would go online, right?
That is true. You know the way ads follow y'all? If you look at something, then it follows you. So I looked at these hazmat suit things, and I'd be on whatever website, whatever news, and be like, look, price discount, marking down hazmat suits, 50%. Yeah. I don't get those anymore, but I can go back and start that over again.
Good times.
All right. Coming up next hour, a lot to do on the show. That's the man you're going to talk to, Dalton Orwig, when you call 343-0106. Coming up next hour, I'm going to have a conversation about it. Interesting, as we're talking about legislative session going on and budgeting, and my lament that we often don't have the money in the state. You know, this is why I don't think it's a horrible idea if we're going to do lottery to have money going from the lottery to the general fund. Remember the money being taken away from state parks and the whole discussion about state parks? And I am, at the outset to tell you right now, I'm a big fan of Alabama state parks. I think they're great. Stayed in one within the last month. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about how we as private citizens can try to make sure that there's not an issue for our state parks going forward. This is not even something through the state. A private group, Alabama State Parks Foundation, is going to talk with us coming up in just a little bit. Plus, we'll take your calls at 343-0106.